that. We're back again. Another week in the row. I know, I'm keeping it up. Who would have thought I would have gotten this far? But yet again, we're here. And the third time's a charm in terms of like the consistency rate, because Lord knows I didn't even know if I was gonna get last week's episode out, and it's not even out yet currently. Like, I'm in the process of editing that, but hopefully you'll be able to listen to that before you listen to this. But on this installment, I have a special guest here that was supposed to be here for my first little episode back, but I lost that because I was a dummy and fucked them little flash drives. They're not sturdy enough, honestly. But she's here again with me.
Hey.
Wow. We have Treasure here, you know, soon to be lawyer, doctor.
You know.
Extraordinaire, truly. Because who decides, instead of being a lawyer or a doctor, I'm going to do both. That's real dedication.
Someone who doesn't want to do one thing for the rest of their life.
Look, I didn't either, but I decided to get a bunch of fucking odd jobs. Not careers. But how's things been going with pursuing becoming a doctor, lawyer extraordinaire?
Studying for the MCAT is intense.
The MCAT's like,
it's like the SAT for medical school, and the LSAT is like the SAT for law school.
You gotta take both of them?
Mm-hmm. I got a test for both of them. So I'm gonna take my MCAT first because I believe applications for medical school open up in May. So I want to take the March one. That's the goal that I'm reaching for, but it depends on how my diagnostic test, because I need to get a good test score so I can get to a good school and get scholarship money, because
grad school fees ain't looking cute in this economy,
especially out of state, because I'm not trying to be in a DMV.
I don't even know where I'm living after this in terms of like transitioning points, like where would I invest. Because I definitely want to buy, which is so weird. I've been changing my mind, and I'm not one for change ever, in terms of like what I want long-term wise. I've felt like I've always wanted the same things for the longest time, like since I was a child. So now this year has just been introduction to so much change. I do eventually want to have kids. Ew, right? Crazy.
I've always told you that you were,
you know what,
have kids.
I've literally said this
our whole entire friendship. When she's like, I don't want to have kids, I'm like, wait till you find the right one. Because my mom was the same way. She tells me the same story all the time. She was the same way.
And you know, that
she
was
didn't
what
like
was
kids.
Keeping me
and
from
like,
not
I still
having
don't
kids.
Like kids. I still don't.
That
but.
Is exactly what was keeping me from not. That, oh, I told you so. I was like, you know what? I shouldn't have kids just out of fucking spite, because I'm just that fucking petty. I really would. I'd be like, you know what? Cut it.
I
cut
told
the shit.
You.
Cut it. Dead ass.
When
like,
you
I
find the one, it won't seem disgusting.
It's,
and then once
pregnancy
you have
is still
one,
disgusting. Once, pregnancy is still
yeah, of course,
be
of course. Even I want kids, and I be looking at it and being like, do I really want them? Because the way them women be blowing up and like, bless y'all, because y'all be risking
but
y'all
here's
life.
The thing. I've never said that I wouldn't have kids in my life. Like, I've always been the one. Like, I was believing like adopting and things like that.
I wanted to do that too, but I wanted to do both.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna do both of them.
Yeah.
But even then, not saying that I probably still won't, but I think the adoption system in America is kind of weird. I already have my feelings about that. It's just selling kids. I don't like that. There's a profit. I don't like that. I don't like that. It's just something about it. It's something about them not really taking the time to like care about who's taking the child, who's taking care of the child, like long term. Because then I'm always bringing up fucking TikTok because I'm spending a lot of my time there. But it has a lot of anecdotal
like stories from people and their own experiences, and it doesn't invalidate anything, but if anything, I feel like it just supports the statistics behind it. Like mm-hmm. those stories that kind of back up the statistics that are showing that adopted people are having either hard times with their own interpersonal things or just like getting
especially it. Like adopting a child outside of your race. Like that annoys me, but like I just be feeling so bad for the kids. It's because it's just like, and the person may have good intentions. I don't understand. I don't understand wanting a black kid. It like it feels like an accessory. Like especially when you don't take the time out to really know that culture and know that okay, you are raising a black child. They need lotion because they get ashy. They need
Everybody needs fucking lotion. I'm so sick of seeing palm colored people out here dry as hell thinking because the ash can blend in. Hey, moisturize. You want to crack up something, get a fucking infection on a deep crack because your skin's so fucking dry. Oh my gosh, please moisturize. Like regardless, anywhere, anytime, moisturize your fucking skin inside and out. Thank you.
But yes, like moisturize their hair, like do their hair, like oof. It's annoying. Like you can't raise that black child like they're white because they aren't. That's basically whitewashing any type of religion. If you race. If you're gonna adopt an Asian baby or you're gonna adopt, you know, I don't know, baby from Ethiopia, wherever the situation, know about their culture. Their have somebody around that speaks their native tongue, or like at least go out your way that they have these things so they don't feel so odd, especially if you are a well-off white person and you're gonna have them in schools where they're probably gonna be the only diverse group anyway. I mean, that's even worse. Like I don't know, I've actually met people that are like that, and I felt bad from them being black because it's just like, I can't teach you how to be black and that shouldn't be my responsibility. But it's just like, when you're a kid, like, I don't have, like, I'm a kid, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? But it's just like, the fact that we can't really communicate, and it's just like, you can't really communicate with the white kids either. So it's just like, I don't want to just leave you here. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, hey, I'm 14, 13. It's not my responsibility to really teach you something that is more so feels like innate, like how you realize like, oh, other black kids, were we raised the same way? Like all of our black moms or black dads or families kind of had some of the same similar sayings or something like that.
I think it's more of a cultural type of norm reaction, like what actions and reactions you take that are seem culturally normal.
Like even just like head nods or like just a deuces, like type of stuff like that we do, she wasn't privy to. Like she just, and this particular person, I went on a trip to China with her. You know, her mothers, because she has two white moms. They were the sweetest old white ladies. She went to the same school, the Obama sisters.
Oh, not lesbian. Look, the lesbian moms. They were the lesbian.
They were the lesbian moms. It was honestly weird because it was the first time for me I had ever, like, really seen that before, because I never really seen lesbian moms or white people adopting black babies. That was the first time me experiencing, but they were so nice little white kids. She went to the same school the Obama sisters went to, so they had money. She was living, I mean, she went on a trip to China, so you know.
Look, here's the thing. They had
some money to spare, okay? They were really nice or whatever, but hair never done, always. Mm-hmm. And she was, you know how we were talking about being dark-skinned? Mm-hmm. She was dark-skinned, and when I tell you, baby, she was like, her knees would be like ashy, like
oh my like, gosh, y'all can't see lotion. Y'all can't see what she just tapped on. She just pointed to a very white a shoe sole to show like, how white her knees were.
No, like, and I'm
were.
Not even trying to, like, jump because, like, it was just certain things. Tragic. Like, yeah, and it was, like, at first, you know, it was only out of the whole trip of our delegation was, like, maybe 40 people, and it was, like, 5 black kids, and majority of us were in our delegation in the DMV area, so we all knew each other. But, you know, we tried to, like, you know, help her out. But, like, we were in a month in China, and it got to a point where we were just like, nah.
Like, we can't do it no more. Like, bruh, we can't Why? Do it no more.
Because it was a lot. Like, you just, I don't know. She was a lot. And then, like.
A lot how? Like, a lot, like.
Well, she also, like, okay, so she ran out of her medication. She has to take medication because her mom, I guess, was a crackhead.
Oh, okay.
So she has to take medicine. So when that ran out, does she really, I don't know if it's like ADHD or like like whatever it was, but it was just her personality was like intensified times 10, and it was like, okay, I can't do it. I'm only 14. I can't do it.
Why does it sound like me? Come on now. She probably didn't have ADHD. The girlies have it hard out
here. We hung out around her. Like, but, like, I never was roomed with her, though. For the most part, we didn't get to choose our roommates, except for, I think, one night we got to choose our roommate because our delegation leader, like a dumbass, she slipped and fell trying to take pictures and, like, broke her arm, and she had to, like, be, like, shipped back off to America. Yeah, it was dramatic. But that was the one night that we got to do what the fuck we wanted to do in China. And they didn't know. They didn't know. Because after they came and checked up on us, we just did whatever we wanted. But
and y'all said euphoria wasn't realistic. And they all 14 in China, living it up. Yeah, all right. Y'all go ahead with that. But in terms of what, I just want to know more about this girl. Like, I kind of want to know. Because I feel like there's a certain demographic of the black girlies that are in these spaces, these majority white spaces. And like you said, like being able to, like you kind of have to be entrenched in the culture at some point in your upbringing to know these things. You can't be taught how to be black, but there's a perceived experience that you would understand more if you were around other people that look like you. Because if you're having one experience and you're just like, and there's someone else that is perceived like you racially, socially, and they're getting some of the same thing, y'all can both be like, what's going on here? You know, when you don't have that type of bounce back, that feed off of someone living the same reality as you, it can be very disheartening to see from an outside perspective after it being so long. Like, it's so long. It's like being an only child, but in a different sense of like an isolation. But you're around people.
She was the only child. Like, it was just her.
And you're around people. You are around other, like, experiences, everything. But that doesn't mean that that experience is going to link up with you. You have white women at your parents, and you are a dark-skinned gal in America, there's only so many things. Womanhood, to an extent, they can definitely give you a guide to, a feel on, you know what I mean? But anything outside of that, that black woman experience is something that you kind of will only have on your own. And if you're not so in tune and intuitive enough to really pick out your experiences being separate and different and deserving a different type of care by yourself, most of the time you're going to need another person there to be able to kind of give you a guidance. Like, we live in something a little bit different.
But when you're 14 on a trip that your parents pay for you, you don't want to have to do that every single day. Like, when you're trying to just have a regular conversation with the other black, and you don't want to have to, oh, well, what's that? Oh, what did I? No, I don't want to have to give you, like, a freaking, what's it called? a manual? Side notes or what you call it?
Annotations.
Annotations. I was thinking of No Fear Shakespeare had the little, like, it's the Shakespeare side, and then on the other side it's like regular English. So I don't want to give you, like, you know, try to explain you every single, like, no one wants to do that the whole, that's 21 days.
That's annoying. But that just goes to show a different type, I think, of upbringing, a type of, okay, and this might be a little, I don't know, a little touchy. I think one of the things that differentiates certain experiences from people is how they're raised. And I think people that are raised in a place where they've not, I don't know how to say this, because I think it can be seen in different respects. But there's always this thing where some people just don't want to do the work. Just don't want to do the work. I've definitely spoken about before not being a teacher, not being responsible for being a teacher, and being around other, being in predominantly white spaces or diverse spaces, that's just the role that they assume every Black person to take. For whatever reason, the most marginalized are responsible for teaching the people that are marginalizing them how to be better. Mm-hmm. Not our responsibility at all. But in this case, I think it's more, it's just taxing. Because like you said, you're 14, you don't always want to have to explain things. I'm personally not the type of person, I don't like a bunch of questions. I hate it. It rubs me the wrong way. It overstimulates me. Like, that's my little ADHD thing. It literally infuriates me if I'm bombarded with questions. And especially if you can do your own research to find it out, simply. If I feel like there is no additional steps being taken for you to do your own research.
That's why we were telling her to watch BET. Like,
not watch BET.
Watch BET.
Oh my God.
Bro.
It's she not even like, owned by like Black BET people anymore.
BET. BET. So she could watch some Martin or some goddamn.
And you want her to. I think that's the poor. No, I don't think you should.
I don't think it's my responsibility to teach another, as a teenager, to teach another teenager how to relate to other Black kids, especially not when it took me a while to figure out how to relate to DMV kids. Because when I first moved to Virginia, I was,
they're mean up here, guys.
They're mean. When I first, me and my brother, when we first moved here, you know, they called us Oreo. Like, you talk like a white girl. Why you talk like a white girl? Why you talk like that? You're an Oreo. Me and my brother, well, not like a white girl, but like a white boy. They used to say that because, you know, we, yes, so, yes, sir, no, sir. Like, we came from the South. Like, we, like, I don't know, the way we talked, I don't know. Like, they just didn't like it. Even the as far as, like, the teachers, like, our teachers didn't like for us to say, like, yes, sir, and no, sir. They would be like, don't call me sir. Like, don't call me ma'am.
Yeah, like, I'm going to call you sir and ma'am because I was raised in the fucking dirty South. I can't help it. And that's what my mom would say
at the teacher conference. She was like, no, they were raised like that. So they're going to call you. They're going to say that because it's manners and it's a sign of respect. But, like, I've literally had teachers, like, my sixth grade teacher, like, the other Black kid, that was in my class, like, he went up there to hand in his work or whatever. He said something, and he was like, no, sir. And he was like, sir, I'm not your sir. Do I look like your daddy to you? And he was white. And the guy was Black, and I was like, I know not to say yes, sir, no, sir to him. Like, and this is like,
on a side fucking note, what is wrong with middle school teachers? I think all of y'all were just fucking bullies and y'all just peaked and y'all are just taking out your issues and your dramas and whatever projections, projecting it on these little ass kids. I'm so fucking sick of thinking about middle school and how it's like literally one of the worst times ever for me in terms of like building up any type of decent foundation for confidence in the future. Like, y'all really laid the foundation of trauma, and honestly, fuck you for that. choke on rocks, and yeah.
But moving on.
I do want to talk about how being a self-reliant, independent Black woman is really ghetto. It's not fun. I don't know who said this shit would be fun. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's whack. I want to be taken care of forever. I don't want to work. I'm not doing it. I'm sick of being the strong, independent, brain smarts, got her own job, got her... You notice how a lot of old songs is about, like, independent women, but it just sound like bum niggas not wanting to help support them.
What?
Think about it. Think about it. No, think... Okay.
Tangent?
Tangent, but here's the thing. Because I was listening to a lot of, like, you know, older school jams, Neo, Miss Independent, like, that brand of song. It's like a woman that doesn't need any help. It's really romanticizing the idea of a woman, Black woman specifically, not needing to depend on men. And you can hear it in a lot of, she got her own car, she got her own, it's sprinkled all throughout the early 2000s. Not as much so because you have rappers being like, oh, I got her Birkin, blah, 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 blah. But then they also sprinkle in like, oh, but she don't always need me to type thing. Mm-hmm. I just want to know, why is it so, are men so burdened?
I mean, the women did it too. Destiny Child had Independent Women, that whole song.
I know, it was during the time, I'm thinking that these are also women that were under the brunt of feeling like they had to be, they had to idealize, they had to be the pillars, the icons of spewing this self-reliance, and it's ghetto. It's not, you know what's better? You know what's better? Living a life of luxury. I mean, and not having to worry about.
I don't want to have to work either. But the thing is, I'm going to have a medical degree and I'm going to have a law degree. So if there's ever a situation where I need to work or, you know, just to have on my own, because who's getting an allowance from your husband like he's your fucking father.
Oh,
like,
allowance? Who's allowance? That's you're not my dad.
That's what I'm saying. So what are you
spoiled? What spoiled and allowance don't go hand in hand. Spoiled is like an overflowing amounts of whatever you want. You got it. Not a limit. Allowance is a limit. Like you're my parent. That's not what I want. I want to be spoiled. I want there to not be.
There was a video.
Oh, my thing is, because here's the thing. I just can't. I can't get into the idea of. Even, okay, you want to be a lawyer, doctor, who's to say you can't do that as a passion, like not a passion project, but a passion career. Mm-hmm. Like you really so passionate about saving lives and getting people the justice they deserve that you can live a life of being spoiled. You got it all. You ain't got to worry about it. But you can also invest your time into just whatever type of impact that you want to live in people's lives without you worrying about having to make ends meet.
That's what I'm saying. That's what, like, I'm saying. I want a partner like that.
I don't want to have to be kids.
I want to stay home with them, especially like that first 5 years, and I'm gonna just be popping them out. I need to be home. You need to be able to support us in our, like, our little, you know, nest of little children.
And so, you want an independent, she got her own, that's a lot of work. And then you want me to have kids? No, it's ghetto. And that's what I'm saying. We've been brainwashed to this point. We're like, wow, the amount of excess labor it takes into caregiving a child, whoever takes on that role, usually the one fucking birthing the child, I'm supposed to be independent too. I'm supposed to have all these extra things too. That's a lot. That's a lot going on. And what are you doing? What are you doing? Nothing. I don't get it. You want into why? Oh my goodness. I just didn't understand. I didn't understand the influx. During this time especially, like this was around the recession time. So I thought maybe before 2008, they probably had a sense of what was going on. They're like, yeah, I'm gonna need some people to get more independent because the economy's looking kind of shaky. And then post the recession, they were like, yeah, y'all gonna have to have your own shit because I don't got a job. And I get it, I do, but we're gonna have to stop the extra, the strain on specifically Black women to have it all, to just be this all knowing, all they got it together type being, you know, like that's the highlight, that's the pinnacle, that's the what we should be reaching to, like that's our goal. That's not my goal. It's not. I can't be like, I don't know, it's just very much not giving what y'all thought I was giving, and I had to say some shit about that. But what I really want to get into is podcasting. And everyone's been talking about podcasting a lot recently, and I was hoping it was because of me and my podcast, but it's not. It's because of these dusty, crusty ass men with mics. Fresh and fit. Neither fresh nor fit. They got a lot of issues. They got a lot of problems. And they recently got their shit aired out publicly, like they should have, by Brittany Renner. Or what's her other name? Mariah the Scientist?
No.
Bundle of Brittany, you try. Okay, I'm sorry. I just
like that. But I like Brittany Renner. Everybody be hating on her. I don't because understand.
I understand.
I feel like she's misunderstood. I feel like she be doing a lot sometimes, but I feel like lately, like, she hasn't really been doing anything for people to really be hating on her. Like,
I think time is an illusion, and we're really forgetting how she was just Twitter's trending topic because she said that she went out of her way to go to young, new basketball prospects in terms of intimate relations. That was something that was, like, talked about in terms of, like, her.
Isn't she, like, around, like, our age?
No, she, like, 30.
She is?
And she, like, them young, like, 18. That's weird.
How old is her baby daddy? He's in the NBA, so.
That don't mean nothing.
He's older than 18.
You can be in the NBA at 18.
I know. There have been players that have been 18.
One of these lead college for the NBA because they're so great. I'm just saying, yeah, I think it's weird and it's giving groomer. I don't care. It's giving groomer. But not to discredit or to discount the very true facts that she was speaking on Academics podcast. I really fucking hate that guy. I want to punch him in his. I really don't like that man. That man makes me want to punch him dead in his nose. I don't care. But whatever. You wouldn't go on Fresh and Fit, but you're going to go on Academic Podcast, whatever. I mean, I guess it's not nearly as bad, and there's more of a reputable reputation behind him, I guess. But it was really smart for her to get on there and really tell him what the girlies have been saying, because they've just been embarrassing themselves all over the internet. Have you seen any of their podcasts, any of their snippets, their clips?
No.
You haven't?
Of Fresh and Fit? No. Yeah. The only snippet I saw is the one where Asian Doll was on there. The one that, I guess, because of the way he was talking to one of her friends or whatever. Her dark skin friends.
Yeah, you saw that white bitch in the corner laughing.
No, tee-hee-heeing.
Yeah, I mean, but they think that they're allies. You're not. You can't laugh when people are making fun of Black women. That just means that you're racist. Sorry. I'm afraid of the word. I'm going to use it. Continue.
But yeah, I mean.
But that was just a little. It basically giving you a little tidbit, a little taste of what they talk about in their podcast. They're very misogynistic. Mm-hmm. They're very colorist, even though one of the hosts is a dark-skinned man.
Both of them are not attractive.
Neither
one. So I don't know if it's because, like, they've tried to get Black girls and they couldn't and they just have this animosity towards black girls, and white girls will fuck with you because they feel cool because they're fucking some black dick, so it's all good, you know what I mean?
Very much
incel-y. Yeah, they very much fetish, can really care less, so
fetish pawns, they're fetish pawns. Mm-hmm. I would say I think that's what you're describing them as, like
fetish
pawns.
Pawns, okay.
Like playing in a bigger game, because okay, that's what they're being used in, a bigger game.
I thought you
game.
Were saying pawns, like lake, like they some fishes in the lake and the white people getting them and baiting them in.
I was like, what? I mean, pawn, like a chess.
Okay, piece, I got you.
Because it's all a game, you know? But there is more fish in the lake.
Honestly, like,
It's sad. It's sad to see.
It's crazy that. Because there's a lot of black guys that are like that. Like, I've encountered.
That's why they had a fan base, and that's why we're talking about them now.
An encounter with this one guy. I'll never forget him, Eric Terry. I'll never forget his name.
Damn.
Because in elementary school, he's black. He used to talk down on black girls all the time. We're in elementary school. So I'm like, where do you get these thoughts and these ideas from, right? And he's like, my older brother this, my older brother that. Like, I don't know. I know
you have your older brother beefing with your mother? Because that's what it sounds like.
Like, I know you don't, you know, with but if you've ever watched before, the show, Rudy had a best friend, but do you remember? Regardless.
Yeah.
I was about to say, Rudy had a best friend, Bud, and he used to have his misogynistic views on women, and a woman should be
this
and
this. Did he play the boyfriend and sister?
Yeah. So he used to have these misogynistic views on, you know, women, and he got them from his brother. He was like, well, my brother said that's literally how this guy was, and he used to talk crazy. He was like, oh, I only like white girls. Same thing with my brother. Literally all through in middle school, same. He only messed with white girls. He used to talk down on black girls, and we would have to fry him up because, for one, it's like, you're not attractive, so you're black and your brother's black, your mom, your dad's black, and you're talking like this. I don't know where your older brother got this, but tell him he's stupid as hell too. Like, what the hell? We would have to fry you up. Like, what black girl would want you? That's why you're with a white girl. Because they're gonna accept your bullshit. And a black woman, we're not gonna accept that shit. That's why you crawl to them.
They really big on accepting the bullshit. I don't know, culturally, they
accept your bullshit. And no matter how much they say that they don't, yes, you do, which is why you're the only ones that want to deal with the scraps.
I'm not going to say that that's the only bullshit that women out here are accepting, because I would be lying to say that my sisters out here are all dating the stand-up guy. Some of y'all need to stand up.
No, okay.
Some of y'all hoes are weak in the knees.
You're right.
And need to stand up.
You're right. So, you're absolutely right.
Am I gonna fall off? Everyone has their what you call it? Their preference on scraps, if you will. They have a preference on scraps, and when one culture thinks of scraps, it's another culture's treasure. So we can see how that.
But all I'm
can
saying
get
is, like, you can like what you like. Just keep your hateful thoughts to yourself.
But that's the thing. And I thought, I saw this somewhere, which is great. Just to break down what a preference is for the girlies that don't know, for the gays, theys in the back. It is when you like an option more than the other options available. Would not mind the other options that are available, but you like one of those options more. If you only like that one option, it's no longer a preference. That is exclusionary. There is nothing else to compare, to put a preference on, if you only like one thing. Just so we all know where preferences, how those work. That's just so it's clear, because that is the argument that people go to all the time. Well, I prefer, if you only like it, you only like one, and you've only been seen with one all your life, just go ahead and say that. Just go ahead, be a man of your word, be one word, be person, they, them of your word, and stand fucking in it. Because if you're going to be so exclusionary to literally anything, you're going to have to accept that there's going to be opposition to that. Mm-hmm. There's going to be an opposition to how you're viewing that. And that's just the fucking reality. Mm-hmm. You can't be afraid of what you're going to be labeled if that's really what you are. Get over it, love. You're a colorist, you're a colorist. Stand in that shit. You're a piece of shit. It's at home for you. Come on now. I'm like, but I don't know. I think I've definitely dealt with my fair share of I've definitely dealt with my fair share of men that have the but like, I don't like this, but, and it's all related to something that they've had their own experience with, or they've been project, like a perspective that's just been projected onto them, and they're so weak-bodied that they haven't been able to fight it themselves in their head, so they gotta project the same thing. No offense, but yeah. You're not strong-minded like that, and that's just gonna shape, you're not gonna question more things, you're not going to question how things are explained to you, why you should have the preferences you have, if they're so fucking important or whatever. Like, if you're not doing any inner thought processes on your own, I don't really care what you gotta say. Because obviously, things aren't working. They're just rocks up there. There are no screws. There are no gears turning because they're rocks. So, what can you hope for? The rocks to turn? They'll just be tumbling up there. But, So, yeah, fuck that bitch, Jamie Lynn Spears.
And I used to like Zoe 101, bitch.
How dare you taint our child every day. I can't grow up. But y'all just, y'all make everything. Someone said she looked like Ted Cruz.
I cannot.
I'm like, oh my gosh, she's a Zodiac killer too.
Yeah, like, how is your sister older and aged, been through more and looks better?
Because evil souls like that, they don't age gracefully. Even people like that age like fucking bananas. And that's what she looked like.
People already age like bananas.
She looked, her face looked like a banana. It's shaped like a banana. I don't care. Like, she, oh my goodness. I think it was so, just so opportunistic. Like, what possessed you to think that that was okay? And my thing, what this really got me thinking about is the lengths that people will go to get this fame and recognition that they had before, you know? I think, and you try, it was like, seemed like a, not like a P, I don't know. I majored in PR, so I rarely like to use like PR stunts because it's like tainting the idea of public relations, because that's really a publicist thing. Like, that's not what traditional PR practitioners do. They don't do a bunch of gimmicky shit necessarily.
In Hollywood, yes, they do.
In practitioners in a normal sense. Yeah. Publicists in Hollywood. Hollywood has always been on this fucking shit. Has always been on this thing. And this is not even Hollywood, like Hollywood movies. But this is where really where I've been like diving in terms of like the videos I've been watching on YouTube. I watch a bunch of this one channel. It was like Be Kind Rewind. And they talk about old Hollywood. Like old Hollywood stars and just movies, all those things. And it's kind of how they do K-pop idols now. Like they, how they produce them. Like they literally pluck these people and create a persona that people can fall in love with. They literally will change everything. It's like a person is a canvas and they change and mold them into this iconic persona. That's not even, the name's not real. They pick everything. They pick a hair color. They pick an aesthetic. They'll make, like, they just create these people. And like, even like,
that's why a lot of child stars go bonkers, because after it's over, it's like, okay, well, who am I? I'm not this character that I played.
But I'm talking about, like, in terms of, this is, like, old, old Hollywood. I'm talking, like, 1920s, 1930s. That's how long this practice has been in terms of massive controls of public figures has been going on forever. And this is in the movie industry. This is because they only focus on movies, and we're not even talking about music. So I'm looking at this now as, like, another rendition of them taking, like, remember, oh, fuck, what's her name? Damn. Someone's gonna be mad at me that I forgot her name. Ooh, yeah. The girl that played in the original Wizard of Oz.
As Dorothy?
Yeah.
I don't know her name, but I know who you're talking about.
I know. She real big. She was real big, but she was one of the stars that's been known for... Oh, my God. I'm going to literally... Yeah, I looked it up. It's Judy Garland. Old girl. She's real big. Pictures, films, things like that. But she was really open about the amount of abuse that went on during the filming of that when she was, like, literally a... teenager.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, she was 16 or
yeah,
15 or something.
But she was talking about how she was smoking cigarettes on a daily to keep her thin, like she wasn't able to eat or anything like that. Like they had this just all of these controlling aspects. The same thing that they were doing to fucking Britney, they were doing to Hollywood. Like every Hollywood star basically had similar stories, some even worse because it comes in like to assault and abuse and stuff like that. But that was every major movie actress at the time. How they did Marilyn Monroe, that was a process, literally what happened to Britney. And I'm like, this is nothing new. It's just a different industry. And it's different. It's not a company that can be held responsible. It's family. So it's more messy and you can get away with even more. But it's the same thing. And I'm like, so for Jamie to go, to sit here like she didn't know what the fuck was going on, you little.
Like, I was 12. I didn't know. Like, bitch, who are you to get a whole fucking show? You got a last name because your last name is Spears. And the only reason why people even know what Spears is instead of the things that you chuck at a horse or a buffalo is because of your fucking sister.
Like,
literally.
Laid the foundation,
so,
girl.
So don't act like you dumb now. Like, for what?
I didn't know anything.
Like.
Get the fuck out of here.
The same reason, whose money was she living off of when she got fucking pregnant and the show was Belly Up? Because you couldn't have been living off that for much longer.
It was Belly Up because you were Belly Down.
Seriously, you were living off of her. You and your daddy.
And Cracker Jack. I'm just so mad that these, I mean, I'm not going to put it like beneath them or anything. Like, it's very much on brand for these networks and places to give spotlights and coverage to controversial things, because everyone knows at this day and age, controversy, things that piss people off will do ratings. So at the end of the day, everything is just what can piss people off the most, what can I get so people can engage with this media the most and talk about how much they hate it and have a bunch of people watching, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what are you willing to give up? You're willing to be hated and disliked so much by a mass amount of people for money? Like, I don't get it. I don't understand what you thought you were clearing up. You could have gone the route of standing behind your sister and actually being a support stuff in the long run. That would have been more beneficial to your end game, but obviously that wasn't the case because they didn't give a fuck about her. She was just worried about her fucking self. Like she keeps showing in these fucking interviews. You're talking about yourself and your sister was abused, held hostage for years, and you're making it about you? That's fucking weird. You're a weirdo. Like, this ain't about you, girl, at all. Oh my goodness. Mm-mm. What a dusty ass bitch. So yeah, Jamie Lynn.
I keep staring at Drake, right? Because it just reminded me of the story about him, like, I guess putting hot sauce in a condom.
Oh my God.
But like, I think he was smart. And the bitch, you're dumb. Like, you're dumb. He knew it because he probably thought, shit, that's how he got his first baby mama, because she wasn't supposed to get pregnant. And he rapped about it like it was a fluke. She planned that shit. So I guess he got what?
Get your bag, lady. I don't care. I don't care about Drake. He don't talk about black issues in his music, so.
He really don't. That is something.
It's right here. I have like a screensaver because I look at my YouTube screen up, and she's looking at this video that I was just watching by FD Signifier. I'll link his channel actually below, and the other channel I was talking about too, just so y'all can get a little sneak peek of what I like to consume on a daily basis. But FD Signifier, he made a whole video about Drake and why particularly he doesn't rock with him like that. And he goes into that point specifically. It's how he's making a wave in such a pronounced black community, and but he's not addressing it at all.
He never speaks up on any black issues at all. And then he, like, I know there gotta be racism in Canada. You stay in America, like,
and y'all gotta watch the video.
You're half black, and it's just like I feel like he gained his popularity because his blackness is easier to digest to the masses.
To white audiences?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Him being Canadian, him being Jewish, his mom's white, blonde hair, blue eyes. Like, that's the way he talks. Like, he's very intellectual, and he talks like, he enunciates. Like, I can't think of the specific word that I'm trying to think of. It'll probably come to me eventually.
I don't know. He used to have writers, so back in the DA.
But, like, yeah, like, he can be plastered on billboards, and he has, like, this big following. But, like, you know, when that whole thing happened with, like, George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and all these, a whole bunch of different black, you know, celebrities were speaking out and doing stuff. And it was just, like, even the big names. But it's just like, where's Drake? You know, like, regardless if you don't want to be too political, you don't want to be too political because you don't want to lose an audience, which means losing money. But it's just like, you have too much influence. And for someone who made a career out of
blackness.
Yeah. Blackness. I was trying to find better words to say that. But yeah, like, you made a career off of projecting your black side more often. Like,
the aesthetic being, way though. Yeah. Aesthetically.
Like, but as far as the way he moves like a white man. Like,
very much performative, very much for the picture of it, very much like, oh, well, one of the biggest rappers and artists in America is a black man, blah, blah, blah. Very much picture perfect, but behind the scenes, it's really not giving what you think it's going to give. And I'm not going to say I never liked the music, because I will twerk some, like, too sexy for a mom. I'm not too proud to admit that. I'm not too proud to admit some fucking bops. But I do recognize the fact that I'm not going to idolize this person. I'm not going to be caught up with what he...
The level people put him on, like, is hype.
It's other black create, like, artists that his hypeness is also attached to. I think his credibility has really been built up off of the backs of other black people.
Yeah.
Very much so.
He likes to ride other people's waves or...
What's new? What's popping? And y'all need to watch this video because it really goes into all of this.
I don't understand why people don't see or haven't really noticed this on her own. It's not really, like, even his music, like, the way he rap, like, he don't really be saying nothing. He don't really be, like, he hasn't been giving, like, that level of music or content since he cut off his curly hair. That Take Care, I'm telling you, I stand on it, Take Care was his best fucking album. Like, After that, once he went that Six God shit and started doing all of that extra.
Was Wayne like involved in that project or something?
Six God?
No, Take Care.
Yeah.
That's probably why.
No, but Wayne was a part of a whole bunch of other ones. That's not the reason why that's my favorite album. Because
no, I'm not saying why it's your favorite. I'm just saying it's probably the best because it was earlier. I think because it was earlier in his career, Wayne probably had more of an influence on the overall album than later on in his career. Because like I said, he's a person that will attach himself to other popular things. So he's pulling in all those other things. And it's like, it's changing up the album as
it's
on,
like
he don't have
his own sound is a thing. Like he picks.
I think he very much created a genre of that sing songy type of rap. You know,
he don't have his own. Like I feel like he switch up with the seasons, just like his accent switches up. Like one moment he want to do the Caribbean things, man. You know, like
oh yeah, and I then, heard something about. I heard, you remember that song, Cha Cha, by Drum, back in the day? Yeah. I like that Cha Cha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In the video, they were saying, like, yeah, that sounded real inspired.
What song?
Hotline Bling.
Oh, yeah, I think I, but,
They were comparing themselves. I was like, the thing is, I was listening to Hotline Bling, and I liked it, immediately. But I didn't know why. Like, I was like, maybe it's the catchy tune. But then I used to blast Cha Cha. That was my song. I had that shit on SoundCloud. I like the Cha Cha. Yeah, Drum was, that was, ooh. He really should have blew up bigger than that. Like, he did kind of with, I know you don't like Lil Yachty. But Broccoli was something that really should have shot him further up. And it really didn't. And I'm really mad about that, y'all. We could have had some real great music by him, but no, we decided to shoot up the mediocrity.
But yeah, I know that I just thought about that. The hot sauce. It was a smart move. I would have did that too. Like, put it in a condom. It just let him know. I just feel like he need to pick better choices. Like, there's also this thing that he might
get a vasectomy.
That he has like his own. Like, he has people in his crew that goes out and, like, finds, like, his type. He raps about it in the song. Like, in one of his songs, they find his type. You know, he's very adamant on...
That's a DoorDash and pussy.
Yeah, yeah. So, they find like, a group of girls that he likes, and he picks the best one, and they go home, and he fucks them. You know, he's really good on consent, you know, make sure that they want to do whatever, and then he sends them on their way or whatever, you know. My thing
that
is...
That sounds so sad.
Exactly.
That sounds sad.
My thing is, yeah, you are fucking Aubrey Drake Graham. Like, you don't have to do that shit. Like, I mean, I'm not saying I'm available, but I'm also...
I'm not saying I'm available, but I am available at 571.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, I don't know, like, you should want a prestigious, and it don't even have to be somebody who's famous. Like, it doesn't have to be somebody who's famous. It doesn't have to be, like, a Rihanna or, like, you know, somebody
that's... He's too corny for all of them. Here's the thing. Drake is a corny man. He's corny. That's why he could never pull big names like that. I would not see him with any big celebrity who would be like, oh, him and Nicki.
I mean, but
him, Rihanna,
he's
a
dated,
corny man.
But
that man is corny.
The thing is, he has dated a lot of famous celebrities.
And they've all decided that he was corny and broke up with him. He's corny.
I mean, some people say that, and then other people always have nice things to say to them. It's just that sometimes you don't. You don't mesh with somebody doesn't mean they're a bad person. Regardless of all of this, all I'm saying is
he was like, I'm kind of cute. That man is just corny. That's really what it is. They were just like something. He's just kind of, it was probably like that girl that you went on the China trip with. And he was probably acting like that. He wasn't really picking up on the hints, and he's very
much performative in the black space. I just think that for someone who is on the level that he is on, he should actually, like, choose wiser, like, with, be more intentional in who he, not just lays with, but, like, be around, because it's just like, boy, like, don't go out bummy. Like, you already kind of went out sad by, like, having a baby mama, because, like, come on now, like, you kind of ruined it. You started getting all the tattoos and started to be all hard, and now you got a baby mama. Like, please, let's not, like, you really not about that life. Like, really settle down. Please don't do it with a white woman. Get you a black woman, please. But, you know, please. Because you really let us down.
His mother is a white woman.
Yeah. But for someone, who's made a career off of black women being their supporters, having them
still not speaking on black issues, I think it's very fitting that he does end up with a white woman. It's very much on brand that he ends up with. He has a blonde hair, blue eyed child.
You can't help genetics.
Help genetics, but that is also a white woman he decided to lay with.
Exactly.
I'm just saying, if not saying there's anything wrong with that, do what you do, do how you do it. But I'm also going to see what's what, you know, mm-hmm. like you building a career and culture off of black people, still having a persistent interaction with people that are lighter and brighter than you. Only, it seems. Not saying it's only, like, you had a handful, you know, you sprinkle in there to show diversity, but managed to have a slip up with a white woman somehow. It could be like, oh, she planned it all, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. It sounds like, for you to think that throwing hot sauce at a condom is the best way to do it, that just shows me that you aren't on your P's and Q's to when it comes to having safe sex.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think she was planning super, super strategically. I don't think it was that strategic. I think you had a grown man that still does not know proper safe sex, that does not take the precautions, and you ended up pregnant, and it was trying to be flipped like you did all this extra stuff. I just think you got pregnant by a dum-dum. He didn't think clear enough. Not saying that she probably wasn't. She's awestruck by being with Drake.
Her best friend, like, or her friend that used to fuck with Drake came out, and it was
friend that used to fuck with Drake.
She was in the music video, the Find Your Love music video. That whole story was intense because it really explained, like, his behavior towards her. Because there was a whole bunch of videos of him, like, you should watch it. It's a lot. Going on tangents, but it's just like when you watch it was just like, okay, well, this makes fucking sense. Like, it puts two and two together.
That she, like, what, did all this masterminding or something?
With him and Malaya's relationship, it made sense. But as far as them being friends, because I guess they both were trying to, or in the friend one up there.
Damn, they were both trying to get pregnant by him, and she got to the dad. I don't know. I think
they're in the same industry, so who knows?
But I'm not gonna take her, the girl that's telling the story, 100% either.
But I don't, I don't think he intentionally got her pregnant, and I don't think
he intentionally did. He just sounds like a dummy. He sounds like
that's what I'm saying. That's why I said what I said. For someone on his level, he needs to choose wiser with the people, the women that he chooses to interact with, date, lay down with. Regardless, like, you're on this status, you really shouldn't be. It's about character in general. It's really not about the status. Like, she could be an inspiring doctor or lawyer.
His character is very much showing that he don't even, He's a grown ass man. He used to do, he played on Degrassi when they talk about teenage pregnancy. Get the fuck out of here. You know about safe sex. You're just not taking the
proper. Wasn't getting any. He was willing in the wheelchair.
I understand that, but it's not like you're completely diverse of the storyline.
I'm under, and you don't know what the that. Fuck
was going. You know what I mean?
I feel like he just thought that he was in that to like it couldn't happen to him. Like it was never going to happen to him.
Anything is possible. You became a pop star. Anything is possible, love. What the hell? I don't understand the delusion that like is around people. And I'm just, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't get that. It's not enough for me. He definitely should have known better. You're a grown ass man. There are options available. You can get a vasectomy. They're reversible. They have male birth control. You have literally so much money. You have access to get, you know, the top of the line and afford it. You putting hot sauce in a fucking condom? Poor management. It's just poor. It's poor character, poor management. I don't know what. Not that's
even that. Poor disposal of the condom. Like you just put the condom with all of the cum inside, and you just pour. Like I would have least dripped it down the toilet.
Just rinse it out.
And,
rinse it out
right. Or do that. And then put hot sauce if you want to be extra. Cause you really don't need a whole glob of that shit to get. It only takes one of them motherfuckers.
You really keep the condom on after you're done. I don't know why you got wanna rip it right off there and put it. No. You take it to the bathroom. You clean it out. Just clean it out. If you're so worried, and most men out here aren't Drake. So this shouldn't inspire men to start doing this shit because y'all aren't that important. But also, I'm begging the bitches out there digging through the chat, please get up. Stop this. I know it's Drake. I get it. But no.
And that, and you really think you're going to be dumb to slip up the first time? Like
no. He has a baby.
He's really like, not that the... good. Like, he didn't even let you fuck raw. Like, you really think he was really... Nah, bro.
It's just... It's giving desperate. And I'm like, you want me to feel bad? I'm like, no, I'm bummed.
Your pussy should burn, bitch.
It could have been like, burning for another reason. Even if the hot sauce wasn't in there. Anything can happen. Literally. And... oh my goodness, that just stressed me out because I'm like, why would you even do that? But realistically, men, there are options. But also, everyone, know that y'all don't got it like that. Please don't think that y'all are that important. Y'all start doing this shit. Start caring a little. I was thinking, when I heard that, I'm like, so did he have a packet of Taco Bell, the blah, like the hottest hot sauce? Like, and he just squeezed that little packet.
He must have had, you know, like the pocket hot sauce.
The little tiny.
Yeah, you can put, it's like three, that's like three dashes of hot sauce right there. And just, but I'm like, he kept it in a drawer or in a little thing where you keep your toothpaste in the bathroom.
Why did you think that was going to kill the sperm, though? Like, where did you get that research? Like, what did you...
It definitely contaminates it.
It contaminates it, but doesn't mean sperm is DNA. It's probably DNA.
Yes, but
it's just
the acidity of the sauce can most likely fuck up the pH and destroy. If they did get pregnant, I don't know if they'd have some
like billions and billions of trillions like sperm in a little in the ejaculation, and I'm like, what at the microscopic level, the same microscopic
it's all, it would come down to biochemistry and the acidity of whatever it's in to mess up the biochemistry of the sperm. But
pussy is acidic, so
yes, and if that's why guys can throw off your pH balance.
I know, so that's what I'm saying. What was the logic? Because just because it's acidic, I mean, pussy's acidic. So I'm like, where is the pH? Where was that chemistry going on? That's what I'm thinking. Because I'm like, here's the thing. Because we've learned, if you have a vagina, for the girls that know, it's a little, it's like acidic. It's like less, it's less than 7. 7 is the neutral point. And it's, I don't even know, like what, 4, 3, maybe 5? Bitch. I don't know.
I think it's that
look,
low.
You don't want to study your MCAT.
Okay, but I'm not studying vaginas.
I'm just saying, but I just know it's more acidic. I'm just trying to understand the level of acidic that he was trying to get it to that would be so acidic to kill off the sperm. Like, this is a real chemistry lesson, guys. We're getting into the biology right now. But either way,
it's about 3.8 to 4.5.
Ooh, look at me. Maybe I should study for my MCAT.
We don't learn MCAT. This. This is like medical school. Yeah. Not MCAT.
Look, and I'm already ahead. Look at that. But yeah. So what's the acidity level of like tobacco sauce, like hot sauce? Can you look it up?
I am.
Because we've got to find out. Because my thing is, what did you think was going on? It had to be like a booby trap thing. It had to be a booby trap thing. I don't think it was, he did that to kill off the sperm. I think that was a booby trap. It was a booby trap. Drake pulled a little booby trap. Hey, I think I'm not going to say that he was right for that, but I also understand that he was protecting himself. And I get that. I can't be mad for taking those birth control steps to prevent an unwanted pregnancy.
Okay, so I literally just Googled it. I just Googled, can hot sauce destroy sperm? And it says, there is no medical evidence I know of that suggests hot sauce is effective as a spermicidal agent.
So it was a booby trap.
And their acidity is around the same.
So it's the same acidity. The sperm was fine. It was just a little spicy. It was a booby trap. You heard it here, folks. It is. But please don't be booby trapping just random people y'all are having sex with. If you really feel like you are at high risk of getting pregnant and you don't want to get pregnant by that person, maybe you shouldn't fuck them. I'm just saying. I know it's rough out here and the bar is low, but toys are available. Body pillows exist and you don't have to.
Body pillows?
Yeah, if you need something to hug, something to... Body pillows.
Oh, okay. I thought you said body pills. I'm like, is there a pill that makes you have orgasms? What is going on in the world?
There are some pills apparently that make it easier. Like you get all like the moist. What's that one pill? That little gas station pill. Everyone said it would like make it was like a pink pussy thing. I don't know.
I know what you're talking about.
I don't know, but I need to give me this fucking rose. Everyone's talking about this damn rose, the little same thing. I gotta get a real one. Apparently there's a real and a fake one, but I need the real one. I wanna see what it do.
A rose and a rabbit.
I don't know if I need a rabbit. Nah. No, I'm scared. That scares me.
But
she wanted to sing to close out the show, so I was just let her do that. I'm sorry for that shift in tone.
Oh my gosh, that was definitely High School Musical.
But thank you so much again. Not you guys, but I mean, thanks for listening this week. Come back next week. But thank you so much for joining me.
No problem.
This is gonna be out at least by like. It's going to be coming out next week, so.
Okay.
But, thank you so much for coming. Bye. And hopefully you see you again. Guys, follow the page, and we'll have Treasure's page in the bio, too. So you can go ahead, go over to her page, give it a follow, give it a like. Follow the page on Instagram at confidential_corner. And literally share, like, rate, subscribe, do all that shit, please. Definitely much needed, much appreciated, and I will see you guys next week. I'm out.